Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse, well, I want to start reading in verse 32. Verse 32. The Bible said, "But call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions." I don't know that I've ever read what I'm going to read this morning exactly in the context, but these people here in the book of Hebrews are, they're facing some things, some trials, some battles. And you get over to Hebrews chapter 11, I didn't intend to do this, but the Bible talked about women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might attain a better resurrection. Others, a cruel trial of mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, there's the word again, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. Now when I read those verses, I think we're doing pretty good. Amen. When I read those verses, I think we're doing pretty good in comparison with what some of God's people in generations gone by have faced. The Bible said in verse 33, "Partly whilst I have made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst she became companions of them that were so used." Underline that word, companions. "For ye had compassion," underline that word, compassion, "of me and my bonds." Most people think that this is the Apostle Paul writing. "And you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance." How many of y'all know that this morning? Honey, the best is yet to come for the children of God. It's ahead of us. It's not behind us. The Word of God said, cast not away therefore, underline the word, confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. I want to ask you a question. It's a personal question. You don't have to respond, but if you'd like to, that's okay too. How many at times have your confidence shaken? Amen, Brother Gary. Gary and Joe, appreciate that. At times, things happen that just shakes us to the core. I'm going to go ahead and stop and say this. I'm just going to try to mind the Lord this morning. Is that all right? But your pastor loves to be with his people when they're going through things. And it hurts not to be able to be there. But God has taught me something. I got on the phone with Sister Joyce. And Sister Joyce said this to me. She said, "Pastor, he has been with me every step of the way. There's someone more important than pastor in your life. His name is Jesus. And God has taught me that, listen, just because you can't be there don't mean I can't be there and don't mean I won't be there for God's precious people." And so, as we go on, the Bible said in verse 36, this is our text, "For ye have need of patience." I can't get this out of my heart. I don't know when the message will be developed, but in my heart, I believe that what we face as a country, what we face as a church, what we face as families, we've buried now, according to the statistics, over 250,000 people with this virus. I'm not a fool. I know that a lot of those people were going to pass anyway with other issues going on. But that's the number. But in my heart, I'm wondering.
I wonder if Joseph didn't wonder when he was in the pit. I wonder if Joseph didn't wonder when he was in the prison. But God took away the wonder. And Joseph told his brethren, "You meant it to me for evil, but God meant it for good." I believe there's some people sitting right here in this building today, your pastor included, that when we are able to get back together, I walked in the fellowship hall this morning. We did some work over there earlier in the year, Brother Houston. I can't wait to gather once again, amen, with God's people and have a meal and have fellowship together. I think sometimes, myself included, we have taken for granted what God has blessed us with. I texted one of the ladies this morning that concerning the food for the family, and I just made this simple statement: I thank God for our church. Let me tell you something, beloved. Listen to me. I'm not building you up or lifting you up, but if you think it's this way everywhere, you're wrong. There's enough love, Brother Steve, in this congregation of people. And I believe God is pleased with that. Amen. You have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. I wonder this morning when I read that text early this morning, Brother Steve, how many have drawn back? The Bible's not talking about to a place where you'll be damned to hell. But how many have drawn back from that faithful walk with Christ? How many have drawn back from the assembly? And how many of them will never come back? I don't know the answer to that. But God knows. Pray with me a moment. Father, thank you this morning for the reading of the Word of God. I pray, God, this morning that you would help us. Help us, dear Lord, this morning to say what you would want us to say, and God, to leave off anything that would be displeasing in thy sight. Lord, you've put this thought in my heart and in my mind, and God, I'm well aware that this pastor has need of patience. Lord, as I texted one man last week, he said, "I'm over it." Lord, we're not through it yet. We may be in the heat of it right now, our Father. But I'm glad, Lord, that we're not alone. Lord, I pray that you'd keep us safe. Thank you, God, for raising Sister Joyce up. I'm so concerned. Oh, God, I pray that you'd clothe us in our calling. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say to us today. God, will give you glory. In Jesus' name, and amen. And amen. Are you saved this morning? I'm talking about heaven bound. Are you glad? Are you thankful? Amen. Amen. We're talking about patience. If you'll turn with me in Romans chapter 5, I just want to introduce the message talking about patience for just a moment. In Romans chapter number 5, there's something here said about patience. Got a lot on my heart this morning, but we'll start just talking about patience for just a minute. Then basically three things in the message today. In verse number 1 of chapter number 5, the Bible said, Paul writing to the church at Rome, he said, "Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God." There's only two kinds of people in the world: those that have peace with God and those that don't have peace with God. There's only one way to have peace with God, and that's to be justified by faith. That's to come to a place where you believe the record that God gave of His Son, that Jesus, the virgin-born Son of God, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died a vicarious death on the cross of Calvary, rose again the third day, ascended back to heaven, now seated at the right hand of God the Father to make intercession for us. And hallelujah, one day He's coming again. The Bible said you have need of patience. We'll talk about that in just a little while. Watch this now. The Bible said, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. I wonder how much glory in the church has been doing in 2020. Probably about as much as the pastor's been doing in 2020. Knowing that tribulation worketh, what's that next word? God's trying to do something. I wonder if anyone has stopped during all this, and I call it a mess, and said, God, what are you trying to do? We have read in the Word of God where God used pestilence. God used heathen nations to chastise the people of God, Israel, the apple of His eye, over and over and over again. Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that America needed an alignment. That America needs to align itself with the Word of God. That America has left the course that we set out on. It doesn't seem to me like, even go way back to 9/11, it doesn't seem to me like, Brother Steve, that we're too good as a people at learning the lesson that God is trying to teach us. We're not nearly as strong as we think we are, not nearly as big as we think we are. I think there's a kind of pride that's a good pride. You can say, I'm proud to be an American. At least I know I'm free, like the song. I'm proud to be a Christian. I'm proud to be a papaw and a husband. I'm proud to be a pastor. There's a bad kind of pride where that it's apart from God, not realizing that God has given me my family, that God has given me my church, that God has given me, beloved, everything that I have comes from God. And that bad kind of pride, it leaves God out. And I believe in America there's a whole lot of the bad kind of pride. We think we're going to do this and we're going to do that, and I really believe that God is trying to teach us something. But I wonder how many have asked, Lord, tribulation worketh patience. What are you trying to teach us? The Bible said patience, experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. I want to say this to you this morning, beloved. Listen. When we get our hearts in line with the Word of God, the trouble's not going to make us bitter. It's going to make us better for the glory of God. The trouble didn't make Joseph bitter. It made him better for the glory of God. You know what our prayer ought to be? God, make us a better church. I think about visitation, Brother Steve, when we can do it again. We shouldn't be down to 12 or 15, Brother Steve. There ought to be 50 people there ready to visit, amen. Make us a better church. Make me a better pastor. Make me a better husband. Make us a better choir, Brother Ralph. And I believe we need patience as we wait, and we need to ask God, God, what is it you're trying to teach us in all of this? The Bible said, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So I'm still trying to introduce the lesson. That's
peace with God. Now turn with me, please. This is very important. Turn with me, please, to the book of Philippians in chapter number 4 for just a moment. You cannot be a Christian without having peace with God. But listen to what I'm about to say. You can be a Christian and not have the peace of God. Let me repeat that. You cannot be a Christian without having the peace of God. That's being justified by faith. But beloved, you can be a Christian and not have the peace of God. Watch what I'm going to show you. In the book of Philippians, chapter number 4, Paul is writing to the church of Philippi, and this is what he says. Rejoice in the Lord always. What? I said, what? 250,000 people have died in our country? And we're to rejoice? I tell you where every one of them that knew Jesus went. They went to their real home. This is not our real home as the children of God. The Bible said, rejoice in the Lord always. Now watch this now. Let your moderation be known unto all men. I'm going to come back to this later. The Lord is at hand. But here it is, verse number 6. Be careful for nothing. I'm not changing the word of God, but what that's saying is don't be anxious. Don't worry. Help me this morning. Anybody had an anxious heart through this? Brother Gary, when you found out about Sister Joyce, waiting to hear from Sister Kay because she sat with Sister Joyce, her sister, by the way. He said, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say we're human. And there's times when we will be anxious, but God don't want us to be. Watch this now. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. I'm going to get to something after a while and blow your mind, but listen to me. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God. Can I say this? The child of God can have both. We can have the peace with God through Jesus, through faith, through being born again. But thank God we can walk in such a way by faith and live in such a way that we can have the peace of God in our heart. Know that God has not fallen off of His throne, that God is not surprised by everything that's going on, but He's still right there. And Brother Larry, He'll be there for our youngins. He'll be there for our grandyoungins. He ain't going nowhere. His eye is on the sparrow. And I know He watches me. Whew. The peace of God. No substitute for the peace of God. Let me give you some things as we talk about the message today. Three things quickly. I want to look at God's will in this passage. God's while, the word while in this passage. That's W-H-I-L-E. And God's word in this passage. As we think about, you have need of patience. The first thing is God's will. If you look at that word, I had you to underline it a while ago, companions. How many's glad we're not alone in this? I had a fellow years ago, and I'm not saying this to put him down, but he held his hand up. He said, if you've got that many real friends in the world, you're blessed. I told my wife after church,
I said, either I've got a lot more friends than that in this world, or I'm the biggest fool that ever walked in shoe leather. I'm talking about, beloved, listen, the Bible talks about showing yourself friendly and having friends. The Word of God said here, some of them are not going through it, Brother Steve, but they're companions to those that are going through it. I wonder in all this mess that we're in, how many's looking for somebody to be a help to? Who's down at the Salvation Army today? I thought so, but I wanted to make sure. They're being companions. They're not going through it. God's blessed them with good families. God's blessed them with means. But they're going down there to minister to some people that have nothing. I wonder how much better off we would be in the mess if we were looking for somebody to minister to. I believe that's the will of God. The companions. Then the Word of God said, for you had compassion. Paul said, listen, you took of what you had. We have an opportunity on Wednesday night. Coulter's going to come in here Wednesday night, and we're going to receive an offering for Coulter Wednesday night. We said we'd do that 6 months, helping him get on the way. And people in this church are going to take what God's blessed them with and help that young man. I'm going to tell you something right now. Brother Steve will say amen to this. He's overwhelmed, isn't he, Brother Steve, by the goodness of God. He's worked all of his life, and that's all he's ever known is work. He said, Pastor, I can't get used to this. I remember one time I talked to him about coming to the church, and he said, Brother, I want to be careful not to fleece God's people. He's got a good heart. You know what he's got? He's got faith that God's going to take care of him. God uses his people. Compassion of me and my bonds. They took joyfully of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. And then the Bible said, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Brother Law, God don't want us to lose that confidence in the midst of the battle, in the midst of the trials. God don't want us wondering, where are you, Lord? God would rather us be asking, what are you trying to teach us, Lord? Many, through all of this, listen to me carefully, have turned to the bottle. They've turned to injections and other forms of drugs. Many have turned to suicide. It's untelling the effects, beloved, beyond what COVID is actually doing to people and to families. There's effects. In America, freedoms are being attacked. We're being treated many times like babies. You don't know what to do, so we'll tell you what to do. And you can look at the studies from state to state, and some of those with the greatest restrictions have the greatest numbers of cases, even when you're talking about per capita in that state. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not sure what to do. I'll tell you one thing. Look to him. Don't lose your confidence. I'll tell you another thing, just do all you can. I've encouraged us, listen, when we come together, stay apart as much as we can. I want to be down there. But if you find out Thursday that I've got it, I don't want to have been among all of you all. Confidence. I believe that many have put their confidence in the wrong place. And God may be bringing us back to a place where we get our eyes back on Him and get our confidence in Him. Let me show you something here in the Word of God. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. I'll try not to be too much longer. I just want to get, the first thing was the will of God. You have need of patience. After that you have done the will of God. I wonder, in the middle of all of this, Brother Rick, how many is really concerned? God, what is your will for my life? How should I act and react? I had a fella in our church. He's not here today. He hasn't been able to come. He has a wife that's real sick and not able to be around any chance of COVID. But he told me about a guy getting in his face because he wasn't standing exactly on the X that was 6 foot from the other X. What is our attitude in all of this? The will of God. I want to give you something. In verse number 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 18, the Bible said, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Listen to me carefully. I'm going to make a statement. I do not believe that everything that comes into our lives, listen to me carefully, is necessarily from God. But I do believe this. God has to allow it. I get that thought and that teaching from the book of Job. Satan had to address Job address the Lord concerning Job. Hey, you've got him hedged up. Just let me have him, so to speak. Let me at him and he'll curse you. God said, okay. You know the story. But Satan was frustrated because he couldn't get to him without God's permission. I'm going to tell you something about this virus. It didn't come in without God's permission. So if God gave permission, God has a purpose. I think it's about time that God's people get at discovering and trying to discover, God, what is your purpose? You say, Pastor, I don't know what you mean. The Word of God said, in everything give thanks. I'm telling you, God is dealing with my heart. I just want to say, God, whatever it is you're trying to teach us in America, help us to be thankful. Help us not to take for granted something as simple. Brother Ralph, I didn't plan on this. I didn't. Come here. Come here, Brother Ralph. Come here. Hurry. That ain't hurrying too much. I know you're old. That's what Sister Shelby told me. Here, Brother Ralph, put your plenty of that on, brother. Put your plenty of it on. Whoa. That's all right. Put it on there. You got it, Brother Ralph? Here, Brother Ralph. How many times have we done that in 7 years, Brother Ralph?
That's right.
How many times do we take it for granted? Here, Brother Ralph, get you some more. You can go back now, Brother Ralph. All these children. Oh, to see them swarm in this place again. The will of God. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God concerning you. Give me a couple things right quick. The Lord dealt with my heart. We ought to give thanks that we're of the day in chapter number 5 and not of the night. We're looking for Him. He's coming. We ought to give thanks, beloved, listen, that we have the privilege to edify one another in verse number 11. We ought to give thanks, beloved, that we can support the feeble-minded. The Bible said to be patient toward all men, that none render evil for evil. We ought to give thanks that we can rejoice, that we can pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. We ought to give thanks, beloved, because listen to me carefully, when we don't, the next verse says, quench not the Spirit. A people that are unthankful are a people that are quenching the Holy Ghost. Sister Becky and the trio singing over there, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. I'm going to tell you something right now. If your heart's in tune with God, it means something when you lay down at night and pull the covers up and you look up, there's a roof over your head. It means something, beloved, when you go in the kitchen, there's something to eat. It means something when you hear your spouse say, good morning, sweetheart. It means something. But when we are not thankful, you take it all for granted. If you're not careful, instead of the tribulation working patience and making you a better Christian, it'll cause you to become bitter because you can't do the things you want to do. Go the places you want to go. The will of God. Quickly, two more things and I'm done. Hebrews chapter number 11 again, or excuse me, chapter 10 again. Not only the will of God, as we have need of patience, but the while. The word while, in verse number 37, it says, yet a little while. It speaks of time. We how many feels like it's forever since this mess started? Yeah. Sister Becky, my memory's so bad, I'm beginning to wonder if I'm going to remember what normal was like. Remember what it was like to get in the house of God on Sunday night and the choir full. Remember what it was like to have Bible school. Remember what it was like to see the bands rolling in. Them youngins on it. Fixing lunches in the fellowship hall. The Word of God said, yet a little while. Here's what we don't need to lose sight of. It seems like an eternity since last March. It does to me. I don't know if it does to anybody else. But it does to me. It seems like an eternity. We've missed the Bible school. Now the Christmas play. The Christmas parade. About 8 or 9 visitations, Brother Steve. Countless Sunday school classes. Countless hospital visits. But God said, I want you to remember something, Pastor. It's just a little while. And I'll be there. Just a little while. That thing of time. If you go back over there to the book of Philippians, I'm trying to remember exactly how it was worded. But where we were talking a moment ago in chapter number 4, the Bible said, let your moderation be known unto all men. This will help us to have patience. The Lord, oh, He's way out yonder somewhere. No, that ain't what the Word of God said. It said He's at hand. You say, Pastor, well, this was written 2,000 years ago. How in the world are we supposed to believe the Lord is at hand? And yet a little while, he that shall come will come. I'll tell you how. One day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Beloved, listen, what we've been through this year is just a blink of the eye. Amen. in the economy of God. Yet a little while, we have need of patience. I'm going to tell you what, y'all better get ready. Y'all better rest up. If your pastor has anything to do with it, we get through this, we're going to work our butts off around here. You say, Pastor, I don't like that. I'm just giving you the plan. There's work to do. There's lost people. They need somebody to love them. Children that need somebody to teach them. Teenagers that need somebody to mentor them. There's going to be plenty to do. The while, Philippians 4, the Lord is at hand. And then the word, and I'm done. The word of God said here, now the just shall live by faith. I want to ask you a question. Listen to me carefully. How many's got more time now than you ever had? Help me, help me. You can't go here, you can't do this, you can't do that. You know where we should be? In the Word. The Bible said the just shall live by faith. You say, preacher, I don't know what that's got to do with the Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I believe if we would have absorbed this book, that God over and over through His precious Holy Spirit would say to us, it's okay. Be patient. It's okay. How many Thanksgivings, Miss Eve, have we taken for granted, honey, that everybody's going to be there? We're just going to have a time. And we get pictures from my sister of a table that's spread that's just her and her husband. Miss Eve loaded up food for my daughter. There was a very good possibility that they were exposed to the virus for Elizabeth and Cody and Amelia and Ava. Miss Eve loaded up the food. I said, I want to take it. She said, why? I said, I want to see them babies. I'm going to tell you something. If you've got a family and anybody's missing, it hurts. But how many Thanksgivings have we taken all that for granted? I got to the back door. I said to Elizabeth, I said, honey, she was keeping her distance and had two big bags of food and drinks, and I said, Elizabeth, do you have any clean blankets? She said, what for? I said, do you have any clean blankets? She ran and got me a couple clean blankets. I said, come here, Amelia. And I throwed a blanket over her. I'm just saying, we've taken a lot for granted if we're not careful. God can help us through this. To look at each other in a way where we really appreciate each other in a way that we haven't before. Where we appreciate Brother Gary just a simple handshake. Now some of this crowd saying we should never shake hands again. I say hogwash. In the Greek that means hogwash. We should never shake hands again. Well, if we do that, Brother Wayne, then we're going to have to resort back to the holy kiss. Brother Wayne's offering me an elbow. He don't want that. Amen. Amen. The Word. If we'd be honest, every one of us could do a little better in the Word. Soaking up the Word. Someone said to me, said, Olivia did a good job reading that. I said, she didn't read it. Though she is reading some, she memorized it. You all have to know where she got her smarts from. And by now you all know where she didn't get them from. Amen. How many believes this morning that we have need of patience? Let's just wait on the Lord. And again, I say wait on the Lord. In His time, it would be wonderful if we learned whatever God wants us to learn. But in His time, I said in His time, I'm just glad you came today. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to be at church with your people. Thank you, dear God, for your blessings, for being our Savior, for putting in our heart, our Father, that might encourage us along the way. Help us, Lord, to serve you with gladness, to come before your presence with singing, to never forget, Lord, that you're God. It's you that hath made us and not we ourselves. Lord, we're your people. We're the sheep of your pasture. Please help us that we might enter into your gates with thanksgiving, into your courts with praise. Help us, Lord, that we might ever bless your name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Lord, thank you for our people. Bring us back, Lord, at the next appointed time, God, that we might hear from heaven once again. Make us more like your Son. Teach us patience, our Father. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.